Hello, welcome to another episode of Collective Language. I'm really happy today because I'm here with one of my homies at Collective Focus. Could you please introduce yourself?
Yeah,
could you tell your name, your pronouns, maybe where are you from?
Yeah. Okay, hi, I'm Asha. I'm like, am I speaking in a radio voice or not?
Yeah, this is your radio voice.
This is my radio voice.
This is your podcast voice.
I'm like, hello, viewers. Yeah. No, yeah, I'm Asha. Where am I from? I feel like whenever people ask me that question, they're asking like one of three things, which is like where I was born, where I was raised, or like my hometown, and what my like background is. And there's different answers for each of those, so I'll just answer all of them. I was born in Canada, Toronto. I was raised primarily in Texas, so that's where I like went to elementary through high school, and the place my family's been the longest. And my background is Guyanese, so my entire family is like from Guyana.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love how you answered that, because I have seen that, especially when there's people who's half American and half any other culture, they get that question, and it's really hard to know what the people is really asking.
Yeah.
Like, what do you want to know? Where are my roots from? Where I was born?
Yeah.
Where I grew up? What is the question here?
Yeah.
Yeah, for real. I love that you put it that way. So you are here right now. You're living in Brooklyn? Or?
Yeah, I live in Flatbush. Shout out Flatbush.
Okay. How long have you been here?
I came in August of 2021, so 3 years.
Oh, wow. For some reason, I would think that you will have been here longer.
No.
did you start it with Collective Focus like right away?
Right away, yeah.
Wow. How did you fund it? Like as soon as you came?
TikTok.
That's how I found it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. And you know, it's impressive the amount of people who has said that before.
Yeah.
Like social media. Yeah. TikTok in particular. Also Instagram. But it's like, I know there's a lot of like bad stuff going on with like social media,
mm-hmm.
but that's a good tool for reaching people who want to do mutual aid too.
No, yeah, this is when I was still on TikTok, because like what you said about bad, TikTok is dark-sided in my opinion. There's dark forces on that app.
Yeah.
So I have deleted it at least 3 times, but this time has stuck. I haven't been on TikTok in like years, but for the hot second that I was on TikTok, I just searched like mutual aid New York, and this is before I had moved. So I was trying to find a community before I moved out here.
Where did you come from? From Texas? Like when you
Yeah. So I went to school in the Bay. And so I was living in the Bay from like 2018 to 2020. And I was trying my darndest not to go back to Texas, because I high key didn't want to go back home. But I had to leave. Like my roommate situation fell through, and I couldn't, it just didn't make sense for me to try and stay in San Francisco. So I went back home to Texas during 2020. For a comically horrendous year, just like a lot of bad shit happened, but I'm sure it did for everyone. And then I moved from Texas to New York. So
how did you decide to come to New York? Like why did you specifically?
Yeah. Well, I guess like my New York origin story is I came here when I was 18, on a family vacation on our way to Canada to see our extended family. And like, I had always been kind of like somebody who was really fascinated and interested in like culture and people and all the stuff that New York has in spades. So coming here, I was like, oh, I really need to live here. Coming from a small Texas town. And then like here was the first time I'd heard a language other than Spanish or English being spoken. And I was like dazzled. I'm like, oh my God, there's so much more to the world. So from that moment on, I was like, oh, I got to live here. And I'd kind of been working my way to live here ever since.
That was definitely a mind-blowing thing to me when I actually told these stories to my family members, because also growing up in Venezuela, there is not that many variety, to be honest. Like there is mm-hmm. a few Europeans and Asian people,
mm-hmm.
but you don't really hear the other language often.
No.
And when I was on the subway here, and I literally in like one trip heard like 6 different languages, and I was like, holy, like, wow, that's amazing to me. And I really love that also about the city, like all the different cultures, you get involved in so many different types of food too. It's like, wow, I didn't know about this kind of restaurants until I moved here. Yeah, that happened to me a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very much like a like a little mermaid moment where I just wanted to be where the people are.
Yeah, that's lovely, honestly. I love also being part of Collective Focus because of that.
Yeah.
Because there is a community here and then you get to be involved in a lot of things and you have to literally socialize and interact with people. I really like that.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, what were you studying? You said you were studying in San Francisco?
Yeah, so I studied... Well, okay. I kind of went into college a bit wayward. Like, I was one of those... I was a nerd. I just was like, school is what I did. I didn't really do anything outside of studying and hanging out with my sister. So I was like really high achieving and my parents had instilled in me that I need to just be high achieving. So I didn't really have any... It sounds dark, but I didn't have any goals of my own besides doing well. So when I got to college and like I wasn't being told what to do, because that's how you do well in school, is like the American education system is just an exercise in like conformity and how well can you follow instructions.
Yeah. No, I feel like even in my country, it's like that.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So when I got to school and they're like, well, now you have this, like these degrees of freedom where you can decide what you want to be. I was like, that's not what I've been trained in. I've been trained in following instructions. So I kind of was like doing whatever when I first got to school. Like if you looked at the first 2 years of my classes, you would have been like, what is she doing? Like I took like an animal behavior, linguistics. I took computer science. I did all sorts of shit. And then I was like trying to go abroad my junior year. And they were like, hey, Queen, you can't go abroad without a major. And so I kind of scrambled and looked at what credits I had to make it, to get a degree. And I had psych, enough psych credits. So then I was like, fine, I'll be a psych major.
Wow.
And I did it kind of flippantly and then I just graduated my psych degree and that's how that's what I ended up studying. So
how do you like it?
Psychology?
Yeah.
Ironically, and maybe it's like that cliche about everything happens for a reason or works out in the end. I think it was the best choice for me because I am inherently fascinated by people and the way that we work. Sometimes I feel like an alien and I'm kind of like, what are we all doing? Like I don't actually understand what I'm fascinated by other people. I just like want to understand how everyone works, which is psychology. So
I did psychology for one semester and then I switched to philosophy for 1 year.
Yeah.
So I did two semesters of that. And I was also like, I wasn't really, I didn't have clear what I really wanted in life back then.
Mm-hmm.
But I really wanted to understand better the human mind. Mm-hmm. In general.
It's an enigma. Right. I don't know what's going on.
And sadly, though, the situation in my country kept getting worse.
Yeah.
And I was, at the same time I was studying philosophy, I was studying music production on like the night at nighttime. And so I decided just to go for music and move to the United States.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I ended up here. And music here was, it's like a big, like, the education was good.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a lot of money, but it was really good for real. Like, I think this is a good place to study any like entertainment industry thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It's just a lot of money to like, I don't know. I don't know. I have second thoughts with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you do any art?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I'd say that my family is pretty, like all of us are pretty artistic.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
So when I grew up, I did a lot of like, I went through a lot of phases of like crafting. So I have like a weird hodgepodge of abilities, like craft abilities. So I do origami. I still can make some origami.
Dude, you do origami? Yeah, you gotta show me
no,
that.
No, yeah, I can make like four things. I can make like a lily, a horse, a giraffe.
I can do zero, okay? No, you gotta show me.
So I did that. I took up sewing for a bit. I knit and I just got back into knitting. So if you want a pair of socks, I'm like, that's my full-time job at this point. But the art practice that I took the most seriously was drawing. So in high school, I did a lot of like graphite portraits and stuff. And we actually had like district competitions and like art was kind of my clique. Like I was like nerds and artists and we'd like eat lunch in the art teacher's classroom and stuff. So,
Wow. Yeah.
So I guess I do a lot of stuff. Like I have a lot of desire to be creative,
right.
But yeah.
Right. I'm interested about the knitting because
I brought my project. I can show it to you later if you want. Yeah, I'm working on some socks for myself.
That's really cool. Cause I feel like that requires a lot of patience. I never done it, but I have had a lot of family members and also Andrea does it. Like she likes
I'll talk to her about it then.
Yeah, she hasn't done it in a while, but she there was a period like for like 1 or 2 years where she was really into it.
No, yeah, I'm deep in it right now.
Right. And I honestly like I found it really fascinating, but it was like it felt to me like when I lock in playing video games that I just get lost.
Yeah.
That's how I felt looking at her doing things. I was like, bro, you're in. Like,
no, yeah. Like, that is me knitting. Yeah. Wow.
That's really, I don't know. To my head, it's impressive because it's like the fact that you can get so focused in one task.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it's like a really cool task because you're literally making clothes.
No, it's great.
Right?
Like, I've made myself a shirt. Because when I first started knitting when I was like in middle school, I was doing stupid shit. Like I made like an apple or like a little thing.
Classic.
Yeah. But now I'm like, wait, I can like knit my... It's like getting cold, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to knit myself a sweater.
Right.
And it's going to be exactly to my specifications.
Yeah. And I see there is a big... Because we have this friend, Andrea and me. We have this friend called Emily. And she got very deep into the knitting world online.
Yeah.
And I then, thanks to her, I discovered there is a super deep online world of people who's knitting.
Oh, yeah.
And they all share different patterns. Yeah. And it's all about... And I was like, wow, this is honestly amazing.
No, it's like a whole movement.
Yeah. That's really amazing. I love that things about different kind of hobbies or things we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you really want to get into it, there is so much on the internet that you can actually find communities and people who's doing stuff. No, man.
Johan, I love a subculture.
Yeah,
any subculture, I love it.
Dude, you know, like, that reminds me, because Andrea and me, we were so impressed about this, because Andrea loves roller coasters.
Wait, that's so... I like this Andrea lore. That's so funny.
Yeah, so... We have spent, I lost the amount of times we have been in Coney Island. For real, it's like insane.
Wait, that's so funny.
And we have also been to other parks around here. We went to one in New Jersey. We have been. And then at one point we start getting a little deeper into that thing. And the roller coasting community is...
The coaster heads?
My God, it's insane.
Yeah.
People ghost. Like, to so many roller coasters, they have reviews, they document things.
No, it's serious. There's it's not
like,
a game.
It's super serious.
It's not a game.
I was so like, dude, this is insane. Like, wow.
That's so funny.
I love that.
No, honestly, I'm kind of surprised that Andrea is, like, really into roller coasters.
Oh, she
she's,
it,
like, a thrill seeker?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Yeah,
she really loves any amusement parks.
Yeah.
For real, like... And I wasn't that much into it, but being with her and she loving it and me going, now I love it. Like,
no, I'm sure.
It's fun. Like, yeah. I don't really like that many roller coasters, to be fair, unless I really like the crazy extreme ones. I don't, if I'm going to do it, I want to do something crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to do like something
chill. You don't want to half-ass it.
Right.
Yeah.
But I really like the most thing, the thing that I like the most when I go to Coney Island, I do it like hundreds of times. Is, I can't remember right now, but it's that thing where you just sit down and they flew you
up. They drop? No.
No. They flew you up and then you just spin on the top.
Oh, also no.
It's so beautiful because you get to see the whole place. Oh, but the one that spins is crazy.
No.
That one, I have done that one a few times.
No, I get like car sick, so I cannot be doing
this. Dude, we have this joke because we did one time the slingshot.
Yeah.
Only one time we have done it.
Yeah.
Andrea said she doesn't remember it.
Right. I'd black it out too.
I told her like, dude, how you don't remember? We did it. And she's like, no, we didn't do it. I don't remember that we did it.
No, she erased it from her memory.
And I was like, bro, we did it. You probably black out and don't remember. I don't know.
I can't. Okay, Good on her though. That's hilarious.
We have to change topic because Andrea's going to get pissed from
me. No, sorry.
Exposing all her secrets here.
No, I love getting Andrea lore from you.
Let's talk a little bit about your community involvement. Here in, especially in this community with Collective Focus. Like,
yeah.
So how do you consider you are involved in this community?
I feel like that's such a broad question. I don't know, like at Collective Focus and... Yeah, I mean, I can tell you, like, literally what I do, right?
Yeah, that's cool.
Okay. So, I mean, when I joined, this is kind of a theme in anything that I do. I didn't know what I was doing. I kind of just, like, was bopping around. So, when the first couple months I was here, I just kind of show up. That was my goal. I just wanted to keep showing up so people would know that, like, oh, no, she's serious. Like,
that's important,
she's
actually
in it. Yeah, no, right. Yeah. That was my only goal. I was like, just show up so people can start to rely on you. So, I'd show up, and, like, every day would be different. So for context, I live in Flatbush, so I have to take two trains and a bus to get
here.
Oh,
you mentioned that to me once. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not easy for me to be here physically. Yeah. So right. I try and get involved in other ways. But I'd come on Saturdays, every Saturday, and I'd like sort clothes or I'd clean stuff. I think one of my favorite things is I was helping a joint photo shoot for Instagram. So I like put the joints in a nice pattern. Like, nice. I don't know if you remember this or anything.
No, but I remembered when they were doing, I wasn't even here.
Yeah.
But I remember seeing the footage when I was like researching on.
Styled by me.
I see. Wow.
I also, there was one day where someone was doing a music video in here and I like helped with that.
What?
Yeah, no, there was a lot. I realize I've been here for a while. So I've seen a lot of different iterations of what the hub does.
That's cool.
But then I started to, and when people started to see and trust that I was like reliable, then I started to, I remember the day I got added to like the admin delegate chat that we have. I was like, oh, am I like a core team member? Like,
inner circle.
I'm like inner circle. Yeah. I feel like all the responsibility that I've gotten has just kind of, it's like a snowball where I'm like, well, okay, I'll just do this. You know?
I don't know if you have seen, but lately we have been talking a lot about removing that channel because we're trying to adopt the sociocracy kind of. I really like that, actually.
Yeah, I was involved in that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And I'm glad the discussion was brought up because I see the positive side of having the channel is that these are people who is always here.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to tell just to that people and you don't want to say to all the volunteers, that's the thing I like about that channel, though. But I understand the other perspective of just post it, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, whenever I try and post stuff in there, I am usually coming from the perspective of like, this is like something someone who's been here a while would know versus like, if it's like broader information, then I would post it in like broad channel, you know?
It's like when we get an email about something that we have to move forward with, there's no point in asking a new volunteer about it because they're not going to know.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sorry, I want to ask you, so you mentioned those are kind of your tasks, the way you're involved here right now.
Yeah.
So how did you consider you help the community grow?
That's a good question.
Yeah, it's probably like the way I see it now, because you already say what you do, that's probably how. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, I feel like, okay, I can like get philosophical since you mentioned that you had a year of philosophy under your belt.
Let's go.
I can talk about like, so I think, and people have already heard this diatribe from me if they've been in any of the, I've said this before, this is not new. So I know some people were like, oh, okay, we get it. This is your spiel. But this is the way that I really think about it. I think a community requires at a basic level, give and take from its members, right? So the community takes care of you. You take care of the community.
Right.
You receive what you need. You have love given to you. You have resources given to you. But that means that you also have to be accountable.
Yeah.
And accountability is a big thing to me in the sense that, like, you feel like your actions matter.
Right.
In so far that they impact other people.
Right.
So I feel like I want to be somebody who people can say, like, if she says she's going to do something, she's going to do it.
Right.
If she forgets, then she'll own up to it. And that means that we can rely on her and she's a part of the community.
Yeah.
So I think when you have a community like that, then people have trust.
Yeah.
And it like that can help it grow.
Right.
So I really think like at that level, I try and embody that and be like, listen, I'm going to be as straightforward as possible with everyone. I'm going to try and be clear about what I can and can't do.
Right.
And if I mess up, I want somebody to tell me.
Right.
So that I can address it.
Yeah.
And I expect the same thing from everybody else.
You know, that just made me think about, since I started here, I have always been involved with the studio because that's what I did in college. That's what I've been doing for a long, long time. So for me, it was kind of easy. Like you were mentioning that you were coming here and you didn't know, like, what were you doing at the beginning?
Yeah.
But since day one, I heard there's a music studio. I was like, okay, I'm in. Yeah. That's it. You got me. And that's been my goal here since the very beginning. But because of that same reason, being involved at the studio, there's been many, many times actually where there's many people who come to use the studio like repeatedly and they don't really want to like do other things at the hub, you know?
Yeah.
They are not going to do volunteering or supporting any other way. And that really is hard for me to deal with, because it's like, I've been learning actually here a lot about how to deal better with confrontation, because I'm not I'm not that good at confrontation, but I'm getting better, honestly.
Yeah,
because it that creates a problem over time when people just want to use resources and they don't want to give back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like everybody has to do it, but things that are more like, because this in here in this space, it has happened that a few times things have gotten lost.
Yeah,
and I love the fact that most of the things you see here, all this studio has been built through donations.
Right.
Right, and this is expensive gear.
Oh yeah.
So we try to take care of it, and that's why I like people to feel committed to it. Like if you come to work here in your projects, it's good when you also come to support others, because then you get, like you say, trust. That's, to me, is key. Like,
yes.
Trust. It's like,
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like that's how I like how you see it, because I that's how I see it too.
Yeah, I just want to know that I can look next at my community member next to me and be like, I can rely on you, and they feel the same way about me.
Yeah. Is there any of the art you do where you say it would be influenced by the hop or not?
You know, I haven't done like what I'd say my art practices, which is drawing, in a while. Like, it's funny, I kind of think of it, maybe this is like self-deprecating, but I kind of think of it as a party trick at this point, where like the only kind of pieces that I've done thus far have been for other people. So like, I made the biggest portrait I've ever made was for my friend for her birthday. And then like, I did a portrait for my, it was like a commission. And that's like the only commission I've done. But I would, like, if someone wanted me to like draw them, because I really like drawing people. And it kind of goes back to what I was saying about just being fascinated by people. When you sit for hours drawing someone, it's like an act of love to that person, because you're really studying them and trying to get their likeness in a way that you're capturing who they are. So if I was doing my art and somebody wanted me to draw them, I would do it. I just like have it. I'm more, like I said, I'm more crafty now. So, yeah.
Dude, you just remind me. Yeah, this guy called Devon Rodriguez Art.
Yeah.
It's a New Yorker that I've been following.
Mm-hmm.
And recently he shared his story. And he now, he makes a living out of like drawing portraits of people now.
Yeah.
But his life is so inspirational. And the way you share about how it is personal to sit with somebody and like,
yeah,
like literally draw them. And
yeah,
I don't know. You remind me like that kind of passion that he also reminds me when I see his social media. It's really amazing. Check it out. It's called Devon Rodriguez R.
Does he, I may have seen him. Does he like draw people in the subway?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've seen him.
Yeah. He's kind of famous now. Like, he's everywhere for real. But his story, he shared like a kind of long reel telling his whole story from since he was a kid. And I was moved. I was like, this is deep, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I want to talk about a little bit about how you grew up. Like, could you share a little bit about that?
Yeah. Okay, so going back to my long-winded explanation of my origin story.
Yeah.
So my childhood was actually spent, like my childhood, sort of like sub-11. I was in Michigan. And I grew up like mom, dad, I have a twin, where if you know me for more than 20 minutes, I'm going to mention her.
Yeah.
That's my bestie for real. Shout out Jasmine.
Yeah.
And an older brother. So we like lived in this town in Michigan. It's called Walled Lake. It's like 45 minutes from Ann Arbor in Detroit. It's a suburb. My background, like, I don't know. I have complicated feelings about it, because I grew up in an all-white town. And I grew up where my mom had to kind of like raise us defensively. Because it's like early 2000s. You're a black woman. You have 3 black kids. You live in a town where the Klan is active. You're not going to let your kids roam about. So I was raised pretty like strictly, and I was pretty sheltered. Like, I didn't, my mom wasn't going to let me just go outside.
I think that's cool, honestly.
No, yeah. Like, and it's made me kind of like very reserved and defensive and kind of on edge with new people. But I don't blame her for that. Cause like, what was she going to do when people would come to the door and say shit to her?
Yeah.
Like, the amount of times that she would go to the door and someone would ask her if she was the maid.
Yeah.
She's not going to let her little black children go. So that really colored a lot of the way that I was raised, where I really only interacted with Black people if they were related to me.
Right.
And then I moved to Texas, and it was far more diverse than when I was where I was raised. Mm-hmm. And interacting with the other Black kids, they were like, "You're weird. Like, what kind of Black are you? You're kind of a weirdo." Because I was a weirdo.
I see.
But I am grateful for the way that my mom raised me, but I'm also 1,000 times more grateful that I was able to then get exposed to far more diversity.
Right.
And there's definitely a version of me that is like, you know, Get Out.
Yeah.
That's sunken.
Dude.
And there's definitely a sunken Asha that could have existed if I didn't have the different experiences that I had, especially my first year in college where I lived right. in like an all-Black dorm.
Right.
But yeah, I think that really colored the way that I was raised.
Yeah, I love that movie.
No, it's I watched it recently. If you haven't watched it recently, it's so funny.
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah.
You know, I watch you actually suggested this movie to me. I watched it last week.
Oh, did you?
Midsommar.
Oh, did you really watch Midsommar?
Dude, that was crazy.
No, I watched. We can talk about Midsommar later because yeah. I did spend 7 hours.
You told watching, me that.
I did
you
tell you.
Me
yeah.
That, and I was
to
like,
the listeners out there, I did spend a Saturday watching a 7-hour breakdown of Midsommar.
Yeah, I really like it. But to be honest, I'm gonna tell you this.
Okay.
Like, after this, we have to keep moving forward.
Yeah, then. Yeah.
But like, I was expecting a little more because not just you,
yeah.
but a lot of people hyping me
yeah.
about this movie. And even the internet. Internet really puts this one in a like...
Yeah.
So I was expecting a little more because to me, it was like, whoa. It was really interesting in the way that I like to think that there is actually probably many weird cultures
oh,
around. You
yeah.
know, like... around the world that they are very interesting to get to know, like you were talking about, to get to know better the human mind and stuff.
Yeah.
These things also like interest me a lot.
Oh no, cults are my Roman Empire.
Oh yeah.
I'm fascinated by
yeah,
cults.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I have, there are so many like interesting ones.
Oh yeah.
And the way how they really work people out, man, like they really get people. It's
no,
like,
yeah, Johan, I have accepted fully that I am cult bait. Like, I fully know that I'm exactly who would get sucked into a cult, which is why I have to be on
dude,
the...
That's so funny, because I was watching Midsommar, and I was saying, like, bro, come on, there's so many red flags.
No,
why,
yeah.
Why are you guys doing? Like, get the fuck out of there.
Like, no, if someone's, like, love-bombing me... like, don't be surprised if you see me in a cult in like 2 years. Like,
dude, there was this cult. I can't remember right now, but this one, if you don't know this one, you should get into it.
Yeah.
Like, where I think it's one of the biggest massive suicides in history.
Are you talking about the Jonestown cult? The one like the where they killed themselves with Kool-Aid?
Right, that
in
one.
In Guyana?
Yeah. That's crazy.
No, yeah, I know about that.
That's
yeah.
crazy. That's one of the ones that I always mention because the first time I read that story, my mind was blown. I was like,
yeah,
how he got so many people to follow, like what?
It's easier than you think. Also, fun fact, the Nikes. So for people who don't know the story, it's like this charismatic white guy. It always is. And he convinced... right. He convinced a bunch of people to go with him to Guyana, my home country, and like had everyone kill themselves by drinking like Kool-Aid, which was poisoned with cyanide. And they were all wearing these black tracksuits and these Nikes. And fun fact, that Nike edition was discontinued because
what?
They were, yeah, like you can't buy it anymore.
I
because
didn't know
they,
that.
Because yeah, they were all wearing the Nikes.
I bet they are so expensive right
no,
now.
No, they're probably on eBay, but Nike's yeah. like, we can't have that kind of publicity for
right,
that
right.
shoe. So you can't buy that shoe anymore. But.
You know what's funny? That's right next to my country. That's right next to Venezuela.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And Guyana couldn't be, it's one of the farthest, like, culture-wise, away from my country. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's so different.
I mean, it's a Caribbean country,
right.
but it's not an island.
Right.
And maybe we can talk about the geopolitics, because I know there's been some stuff going on between our countries.
Oh, dude, especially the past year was insane.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
They try again to, like, this is ours. And
no,
I
know.
I was like, bro, we don't even know anybody there. Like somebody said, I don't think they even speak Spanish.
They,
like,
we don't. English is the official language
like,
of Guyana.
What are you doing?
Yeah, no.
That's so funny. You know, actually, I wanted to ask you, like, you mentioned you were born in Canada.
Yeah.
Did your family move from Guyana to Canada, or
Yeah, yeah. So my parents both were born in Guyana. Also, fun fact, my paternal grandfather and my maternal grandmother were born in the same town, Georgetown, in the same day. But our families were in the same like town in Guyana and then moved. And my parents actually met in college in Canada. So my parents were largely raised in Toronto. Mm. So yeah, all of my kind of Guyanese family immigrated to Canada because it was just easier. Like it's way easier to immigrate to Canada than America from Guyana.
Yeah.
So that's why I was born in Canada.
You know, when you first, the first time you talk about where you're from, like in the first 5 minutes, I didn't understand what you were saying. I was thinking in my head, but the second time I understood.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was thinking in my head, Guyana. Where is Guyana? What is that country, bro? Like,
next to your country.
And it's funny because we call it Guyana.
Oh, wow. That's so funny.
But after the second time you mentioned, I was like, oh, it's Guyana.
It is. Yeah. No, people have creative pronunciations.
I didn't know. Could you say that again?
Guyana.
Guyana. Yeah. Wow. Okay, that's cool. I like that, actually. It sounds like more mystical to me than
that's
saying
so
Guyana.
Funny. Well, I'm assuming... Wait, how do you pronounce it? I'm assuming because of the Spanish.
Guyana. Yeah, it's because we literally are written in Spanish. Guyana. That's how it sounds in Spanish.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, that's fair.
But it's good. It's cool to know that people there actually call it, like, in English, just Guyana.
Yeah.
Right. That's really cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I want to ask you a little bit about, like, this community. Do you think it supports wellness? Like, how is the wellness situation here?
Good question.
That's good always question, a kind man. Of tough one. Yeah.
Man, I don't know. I think we're trying our darndest in an environment that is making sure that we're not well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where everything is designed to make sure we're as unwell as possible.
You know this is just making me think that that's why we get so easily drawn into cults. Because
listen,
you know, like
I'm so serious. Yeah. Like some cults, I'm like, I was watching a documentary about one of the cults. It's called the Cult of Mother God, where this lady was like, woke up one day and she's like, actually, I'm God. And a lot of, like, before she went crazy, a lot of what she was saying, I was like, she kind of spitting. Like, I don't think she's wrong all the way. So I really have to be on my toes about getting sucked into a cult.
Right.
But to go back to your question, yeah, I think we try. I think a lot of us are really burnt out and a lot of us are really tired. And it's not necessarily our fault. But we're trying to create something that is running counter to everything that the world wants us to be. Especially, like, when I say the world, I'm talking about, like, the global industrial complex machine, capitalism, buzzword. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like, the powers that be don't want us to have this type of community, and so they'll do everything possible to make sure we don't.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, grates us down.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think we try our best. I think we could make more of a concerted effort, but that would require us to have the energy.
Right.
Which a lot of us don't. Like, we're just trying to put one foot in front of the other, so.
I've been doing this for, like, 2 years, 2 years and a half. Like, mutual aid here at Collective Focus.
Yeah.
And I feel like it is very rewarding towards your soul. Because it really helps me have peace to help others and also to receive. Because I get so many resources here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really grateful for that. But also in the back end, I really feel burned out.
And listen, let's talk about you for a second. Because you are working your ass off right now. You're doing so much. Like, we were just talking about this. And you're like MVP right now for all the things that you're doing. So I just want to acknowledge that you are busting your ass.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I appreciate that. I like this place so much and what it does, like, for the community. And I have seen it because it really has improved my life.
Yeah, same.
Right. So I want people to kind of receive the same, like, because I know I just feel like I feel so related to everybody that's struggling because I always been struggling. So it's like, bro, I get it. Let's try to work it out together. That's how I feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the fact that, like, I would say, like, 80% of the work I do at the Hub is things that I like to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I love to create content. I love to do videos. I love to record this podcast. It's fun to me. Like, this is what I want to do, actually. And now that we have a grant that can afford to pay me money to do this stuff, I'm like very grateful.
Right.
Yeah. But still, New York is crazy expensive, man. Like, I'm thinking, yeah.
New York chews you up and spits you out.
Like, for example, we're getting a raise again. Like, there hasn't been, like, since I moved back from Atlanta, we are getting raises every single year. Hmm. There is not a year that the landlords forget about it.
No, like, the one thing a landlord's going to do is right. make sure to raise that rent.
Right. Like, so we're getting another one this year, and I was considering moving, and I checked a few apartments, and I was like, this is insane.
Yeah.
The prices are going up more than last year, because I moved last year, actually.
Yeah.
And I was like, again, and I moved last year because they raised my rent to a point that I couldn't pay.
Yeah.
And now it's like so high again. And it's like, it's not even worth it. Because right now where I am, I have like my room that I share with Andrea. And then we have a studio.
Mm-hmm.
For us, it's essential to have like a studio space.
Mm-hmm.
She has her office. I have my studio stuff. And it's so like key to have that. So I've been trying to find another 2-bedroom. And they are so crazy expensive. Mm-hmm. Like, and also we have laundry on place now, which is like the
no,
dream.
Yeah, bro, that's clutch.
We cannot go back.
No, don't let me start talking about my apartment.
Yeah, we are like we cannot go back. We have to find a place with laundry
yeah.
in place. Like it's such a game changer, bro. It's
no,
like,
it really is. Are you where? What neighbor are you in right now?
We're in Crown Heights.
Crown Heights. Yeah, that would be tough.
Yeah,
Flatbush.
Yeah,
like I kind of really love my neighborhood a lot.
Yeah,
I've been in the same apartment all 3 years.
Oh wow, well, Flatbush. Yeah. Flatbush is cool.
It is. It's. I love it over there.
I used to live by Lincoln Road, right next to Prospect Bar.
Oh yeah,
yeah, and that was so lovely too. Actually, the apartment was really. It was a studio. It was really small.
Yeah,
but I like that you had the like one block away from the park.
Yeah,
and it's. I don't know. Having the park there, it was lovely.
Now, if I leave Flatbush, I'm leaving New York.
Right. Yeah, that's. I get it, and I really like the community in Flatbush in general. It's like I don't know. All the restaurants are good. Everything's cool around
yeah.
there.
And you know what's nice? Going back to what I told you about the way that I grew up in an all-white environment. I remember when I first moved here, I was sitting on the train and I looked around and I'm like, oh, it's all us. It's just, at some point, you know,
yeah.
around Grand Army Plaza
yeah.
on the 2.
Yeah.
All the white people get off. Mm-hmm. It's actually getting later and later. I'm like, not y'all still down here. Like, why are y'all down here? But it's nice. It was so there's something so calming
yeah.
about sitting on the train and looking around and it's just my people.
Yeah, yeah, no, I get it. I felt very, it's a little different, but, and you know, I don't get to talk to people that much about this, but my dad is black and all my family side on my dad's side is black.
I want the listeners to know my face just lit up. Not your black.
But this is the thing. A lot of people, because I have had this combos with a few people, don't consider my family like American black is different than Venezuelan black.
Yeah, American black is its own kind of thing.
Right. And I completely understand it.
Yeah.
Because I've been living here for a while and I know what they mean. But in the same matter, I have gotten so close to a lot of black friends
yeah.
that when they do parties, I'm the only Latin guy there and everybody else is black.
You're the diversity.
Right. And I feel really blessed. And I also feel like I really fit in.
Because,
I don't know, Caribbean people, like, I consider Venezuela a Caribbean country.
Yeah.
And we share a lot of that spirit.
Mm.
Like, I used to work in this Jamaican restaurant.
Did you really?
Yeah.
That is so funny.
And I worked there for a year. And you know, it's funny because actually, I'm not going to share that one.
You can tell me off mic.
Yeah. I'll tell you later. But the staff was so nice. It's been my, like, I have been doing a lot of cashier jobs and kind of like
yeah.
restaurants and shit like that. So this has been so far the best one. With the people. Like,
yeah.
I got so... And those... I'm in contact with them.
Mm.
And they invited me to a party here in New York. And I went... That's the one I was telling you. Like, everybody was like Jamaican black. And I was the only Latin guy.
It says Jamaicans in you.
It's so funny. Because I don't think... They invited me. But I don't think they let everybody know.
Yeah.
So when I got to the door, they were so freaked out.
No!
Like,
they said, are you at the right party?
who, what? Like, and I said, no, I'm here for the birthday party. Like,
wait, that's so funny.
Yeah. And they were like, they called the host, like, hey,
like, who do you know here?
Are you sure? Like, and they were like, Johan, come in. Yeah. It was really nice.
No, actually. Definitely. I'd love to talk to you more about this. I have a lot of mixed friends. Like, I have one friend whose mom is half Black and she's from Guatemala. Her dad's from Guatemala. And she, like, was raised really with, like, Black culture through her mom. And she, like, lived with me in the Black people house on campus. But she's, like, not phenotypically Black. And we've had this conversation where I'm like, I'm not chill with you, like, saying the N-word or anything. She's like, no, I know I can't.
Right.
Like, because she looks like you. She has, like, straight Black hair and, like, lighter skin. And so... But she knows part of her heritage is Black. So I know it's, like, kind of a nuanced thing. And there's, like, a difference between, like, having heritage that's Black and then, like, walking through the world as a Black person. Like, those are two different things. But, yeah.
I have realized now that we're talking about this that actually I have really related to a lot of people from different cultures.
Yeah.
No matter the color, no matter where they're from, because of the experience you have in life is similar. Like, I used to date a girl from India.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the way life is in India, we connected a lot.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
And I've been hanging out with... We did an event, Mai. I don't know if you have met Mai at the Hub.
I see them on the Geneva.
Yeah. And because of how, the way they grew up, it's like so similar in China, because they're from China.
Yeah.
Like Venezuela, that I felt we connected a lot because of the same issues, you know, that's bonding from the same. Because it doesn't matter if you're white and come from China or if you're Black and you come from Venezuela or United States. There are struggles everywhere.
Oh, everywhere. Yeah, everywhere, right. Yeah. I will say, growing up in, like, the white town in Michigan, me and my sister did find the one, like, Hispanic person and the one, like, Asian person.
Oh, my
and,
God.
Like, we consider the ginger, like, different, too. No, because I get what you're saying, because I've always felt drawn to, like, a diversity of people. And, like, backgrounds. We used to joke in high school that our friend group looked like the UN.
Oh, my God.
Like, or, like, a college brochure.
Right, right.
Because I've just always been fascinated by, like, everyone else's experience, because there's so many common ties. But then there's also so many unique nuances. And I feel like you won't be able to understand. Like, I feel like life is like a kaleidoscope. And you have one view. And you're limiting yourself if you don't understand what the other views are.
Right,
like,
right,
that's
right,
what
right,
makes
right.
life worthwhile, is being like, well, what's happening over there for you? Because, like, I only have my one little view, you know? So, yeah.
No, I completely agree with that. I want to talk a little bit more about wellness in your life.
Yeah.
Like...
Oh, I'm unwell.
That's it. Let's move on.
Yeah, I'm not well.
Do you exercise? Like, and I also want to ask about, like, your food access. Like, how is your food access and... How does that affect what you do? Like, what?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Do I exercise? Yeah, it's like, it's funny because whenever I grew, so I've always been like food stable. I've never actually had issues with like having food and stuff like that. So I can't speak to that experience.
Okay.
But yeah, I've always had access to. Like,
that's good, actually.
No, it is. I'm grateful for that.
Yeah.
I'm really grateful for that. And my mom was one of those moms who was like super conscious of what we ate, and like she didn't let us have certain things. Like,
oh, my mom too. Yeah.
Yeah. So my mom tried to raise us with like a good grounding and understanding of nutrition.
Right. Right.
But I grew up. I was like fat as a kid. I was obese.
Me too.
And I was a nice fat kid club.
Yeah.
And so I was by no means somebody who worked out. I was actually scared to go to the gym. And then at the end of college, I would like bike and I'd go rock climbing, but I still wouldn't work out. And I like. Would not eat vegetables, Johan. It was actually an issue. Like, I would not eat vegetables.
Dude, I love vegetables.
I know. Unless it was, like, in a stir fry or something, but I wouldn't go out of my way to eat a vegetable. I don't know how I didn't drop dead, honestly. I was eating crazy.
How did you, like, how did you, like...
Survive? I don't... No,
like, how
did I not eat vegetables?
How did you change that?
Well, here's what happened. After I graduated, I kind of looked at myself in the mirror, and it wasn't even about, like, weight or anything like that. I just, like, looked unwell, because I was. I wasn't eating fucking vegetables. Also, I didn't know if I don't know if we can curse or not, but...
No, yeah, we can. It's just going to be explicit.
Oh, okay. So. And so I remember the summer after I graduated, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to, like, just try and, like, try something new. Because I'd also in the early 2000s, diet culture was insane. Like, it was not healthy, body image, all that stuff, struggled with it. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to look at the scale. I'm not going to count calories. I'm just going to try and eat vegetables.
Okay.
I'm going to try and exercise at least once a day in some kind of way. And my main biggest rule was, like, don't quit. Like, just don't give up. Like, wow. If you fuck up one day, if you, like, eat a whole pizza. No, for real, though. Don't quit. Just wake up the next day and keep going. And that, it stuck. And now I've turned into a gym bro. Like, slowly, slowly, it kind of escalated where, like, I was working out at home. I was doing, like, these videos, these, like, little, like, pop sugar videos where you do, like, boxing. And then I started getting weights. And then I met my friend, and she was, like, she was friends with, like, a fitness influencer, and she knew a lot about fitness. So we started doing weightlifting.
Wow.
And now I'm, like, fully gym pilled. Like, I just came from the gym. I came from the gym. No, bro. I'm like, do you lift, bro? That's me. Like,
damn.
I'm in the gym for
I didn't
real.
Know this about you.
No, yeah. I keep it a secret because it's not on brand. Whoa. But no, I drink protein shakes and everything. Dude. Yeah. No, I'm in there. Yeah.
I love that because honestly, such an inspiration to hear this because I'm really struggling right now because I just finished physical therapy.
Yeah.
And they told me now I have to exercise for the next 6 months in a gym by myself.
Really?
And I'm like,
listen, we can go to the gym.
Okay. Because, you know, like, the thing is, I like it to be forced to do it. Like, physical therapy, you have to go there.
Yeah.
You cannot miss the appointment.
No.
You get there on time. The therapist tells you what to do. You go home after that. You're tired and whatever. But I was forced to do it. And now I'm not. So it depends on me. And I'm struggling a lot to motivates myself.
It helps if you have someone to do. Like, for the first couple of years that I started getting into lifting, I would do it with my friend. And then during the pandemic, we do it on FaceTime. So it helps. Like, I'd love to help you, like, go to the gym and stuff. Because now I do it on my own. And I don't know.
When I was 17, I was doing exercises. And I was doing it because my cousin, who was kind of my best friend back then.
Yeah.
Really kind of not force me, but he was always like, come on, come with me, come with me, let's do it. And then I got so used to go with him that I during that time, I actually loved it doing it because it was a time for me to go with him, talk about life,
mm-hmm.
how are you doing, blah, 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 and then do exercises at mm-hmm. the same time. It was actually lovely.
Yeah.
I talked to him recently and I told him, like, man, this happened. Now I have to do exercise by myself. And, you know, not like, I miss having you because it was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that was more motivation for me than just going by myself.
No, yeah, it's lit when you have a gym buddy.
That's some good advice because for real, like Andrea even suggested, she said she was just going to go with me the first time I go. So just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, to anyone listening, this is an open invitation.
Yeah.
If you want to go to the gym, let us know.
Yeah. Let's go. I live in Crown Heights. Let's go.
I'm in Flatbush, but we can find a middle ground.
Yeah. Where did you go?
Okay. So I used to go. Well, I have an elaborate at-home setup. It was also getting out of hand. But I go to the Crunch on Park Slope now. And it's nice because my therapist is like, you have to go outside. You can't just be in your apartment.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I go there.
I see.
Yeah.
I'm trying to go to a Blink.
I can hit up a Blink.
Because that's close to my place. And you know what? Like, they give you one day for free. So
I've been to a Blink a couple times, so.
Okay. I want to ask you about, but you kind of already answered me this.
Hmm.
So I'm going to skip this question. I was going to ask you about your, or maybe I'll ask you actually again.
Okay.
Yeah. What are your healthy eating habits right now? Do you have any?
Yeah. Well, like I said, in college, I ate crazy. I didn't eat vegetables. I also love food. And like being a former fat kid, I would eat just like any kind of sugar, I just loved taste. And then with the fitness, I called it my fitness journey when I started in like 2018 because I didn't want to call it a diet or weight loss because it wasn't about that. I started being really conscious about what I was eating, trying to like, my rules were like half my plate be vegetables, eat fruit, and anytime I wanted sugar. Now that I'm kind of like full bodybuilder mode, I went on a cut during the summer and that was kind of interesting because I was really trying not to get too extreme with it because I know that I could get, it could get unhealthy, you know, like when you're, and for people who don't know what a cut is, when you consciously go into a calorie deficit to lose weight. So when you're building muscle, if you have weight, you can't see the muscle. So you bulk to build muscle, then you cut so that you can see your muscle.
Dude, I see what you mean when you said that you got into this.
Oh, no, I'm really deep in it. Yeah.
Like, I'm learning here.
No, it's a lot. Yeah. And so I still am trying. Honestly, it's like I'm trying to not be so restrictive coming out of the cut because I was doing it during the summer. So I just try and eat what makes me feel okay.
I see.
And like eat a reasonable amount. And also I got to hit those protein macros so I can, you know, maintain my gains.
How is this thing called? This thing that is like, you know what I'm talking about? Like we do this and then...
Like arm wrestling?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you want to arm wrestle?
Dude, I bet you are insane at that. Like... I can't even do, you know, I used to love to do that, but I cannot do it right now because they literally took muscle out of my back.
Yeah.
And no. my arms all fuck up now, but I wish I wasn't.
Wait, maybe we can have a hub tournament.
Oop. Yeah. I wish I was in my prime. So,
yeah. So we could, but you probably win because there's like, I'm a girl at the end of the day.
No, but I'm thinking right now that you probably will win the tournament at the hub. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Well, thinking about the contenders, I might.
Okay, I want to ask you about consumption, and we're going to talk about all the types of media you consume. What did you consume?
Yeah.
Social media, podcasts, TV shows, series, movies, books,
all of the above.
Anime, whatever.
Yum, 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 I love content.
Yeah.
I consume, oh my God, do I
remember
consume a lot.
The conversation we had about YouTube, like we talk a lot about, because I consume a lot of YouTube. Like
it's actually an issue.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, okay. No judgment, but now I'm deep into the Real Housewives.
What? Dude.
I'm mainlining Real Housewives right now.
Wow.
But no, I love content. Yeah. I really do. We talked about this, but I stay in a movie theater. That is like actually really my happy place. I love going to the movies. It's something that I did with my dad when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
My dad is a big like cinephile. I kind of adopted that from him.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. And so I remember when I first moved to San Francisco, I really wanted to go to the movies, but I had never gone alone. And so I was like, you know what? Fuck it. And so I just went by myself and I cannot stop. It's great. I'd go in there with a full chicken dinner in the back.
Yeah.
And I'd just be like, I'd watch my movie. I'm going to go to the movies after this.
No, I used to do that in Venezuela.
Yeah.
Like I used to come... go to the movies with food on my back.
Oh,
all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
no,
how
full
you do it.
Dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah, people turning around can smell it. And I'm like,
yeah,
going to eat this chicken.
Right, right.
So sorry. But
yeah.
No, so love movies. I have a letterbox. I'll drop my username if anyone wants to see
I
my
love,
letterbox.
I love letterbox, but I checked it out recently, like maybe a few months ago. And it's from like 10 years ago. And I was a little cringy when I was all the movies I was watching back then. I was like, bro, this need an update. It's really bad.
My top faves are a little, I feel like they're okay. They're not like auteur films, but they're pretty good. Well, Parasite is, I feel like, an auteur
I
film.
Love Parasite.
No,
man.
Let me stop myself because I could go on a whole speech about Parasite.
And did you, I bet you did, but like, did you see how they edited that movie? Like, it was all done in Final Cut. And like, that's insane to me. Like, the way, and I think it was also like an older version of the software. So they didn't have the newest one.
No, it's crazy. Don't get me started on Parasite because that'll be another hour. But yeah, so movies, big. I do listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to a lot of podcasts about pop culture. I joke that all the podcasts I listen to are two gay people talking to each other.
Oh my God.
I listen to The Read, Las Culturistas, Keep It, which is all just two gay people talking to each other about culture. So I love anything about media. I do watch a lot of YouTube. As we mentioned, I will watch a 7-hour video about anything. I watched a 6-hour video about a Japanese dating simulator. Do I play Japanese dating simulators? No. Did I watch the hell out of that video? Yeah.
Dude, I love those videos that are like to me, like I'm really into competitive fighting games scene.
Yeah.
And once you start getting into it, there's people who create masterpiece of content.
Yeah.
And to me, I was mind blown because I have sat down to watch this documentary about one player in one video game.
Oh, yeah.
For like 2 hours, and I watched the whole thing in one sitting, and I was like, I was crying at the end, like, this was amazing.
Many a YouTube essay has made me cry.
Like, what is this? How are they so good? It's amazing.
It's masterful, really.
Yeah,
I love it. But and like, any kind of art form, really, any media.
Yeah, right,
I love it.
Yeah, Like, I saw recently this video and I was really praising the guy because it's a very weird YouTube channel because he creates all different types of content. But he did one of this Swedish comic that is literally Donald Duck, but it's really crazy because it's this dog who talks about how fuck off capitalism is.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like fucking around with girls. He's horny. It's crazy. And then he got sued by Disney. And the way he worked around the suit is because the dog got a surgical surgery. Like, a surgery, yeah, like for his face. So he changed his face. And that's how he worked around the whole thing.
Listen, I don't think you're making cutting edge media if you haven't been sued by Disney. So that's cool.
That's like in the video game industry, that's like the same with Nintendo.
Yeah.
Nintendo is so hated because they really like, they are suing everybody. Like,
oh, no, not that.
Yeah, they're really bad. It's like they really own so many stupid things, like mechanics for video game. Like, like, for example, if there is an object and your character goes behind the object and you see the shadow on the object.
That's Nintendo?
That's Nintendo. You cannot do that. You cannot do that.
They have a whole suite of lawyers for that.
They actually did. There's a whole case for that. And it's like, how can they, like, because that really cuts so much in the industry. Because if people want to do some mechanics like that, they can't anymore because Nintendo owns it. And that to me is stupid, honestly.
No.
It's like, bro, just let people do video games and be creative too. Like, you cannot own things like that. That's insane for real.
No, I mean, capitalism's bad.
Right.
Greed
is
bad.
Right.
In conclusion.
Do you know the story of Nintendo?
I don't know.
Dude, it's crazy because they are really old. They are not for like the past 50 years. No, they are like, maybe the 1900s, the beginning of it, or something like that.
What video games was going on?
Dude,
in the 1900s?
Dude, they were like they have been. It's like the same company, Nintendo, but they first were like a card game, like just regular.
Okay.
Then they kept switching to different games, or like that, and then they became a toy company.
Okay.
And one of the employees of the toy company was like very creative, and then they start creating video games after that with a guy, and then. It's like a whole booming.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to need to look into the...
It's a really cool story.
The backstory. I'm sure there's a video essay about that.
Yeah, there are many, actually. Yeah. But it's really cool, that one, actually.
Yeah.
And, okay, let's talk about... You mentioned your podcast. You mentioned the housewife.
Real Housewives? Yeah. Real Housewives, yep.
Real Housewives.
I'm locked in on that.
What shows are you watching right now?
So, right now, I'm exclusively, before I started this, I was watching Vanderpump Rules. I don't know how tapped into the Bravo universe you are. I'm assuming not.
The what?
The Bravo is like the network that all the Real Housewives franchises are on. Yeah. So there was like a huge scandal in last year called Scandoval, where one of the reality stars was like having an affair on his partner, who was also on the show, with another girl on the show.
Oh my God.
So I watched all that drama. Okay. And then that show was a spinoff from one of the Real Housewives shows.
Wow.
Like, people are probably like, okay, when did this become a Bravo podcast that's breaking down? But no, I'm watching it. And it's honestly fascinating watching it as an adult, because I used to watch it whenever my mom would watch it as a kid. But like, the psychology of the show is actually really interesting. And like, as an adult, seeing the way that these women are grappling with issues that I can relate to is crazy. Like, to get serious, people joke about the Real Housewives franchise, but I'm going to argue it's feminist. Like, it's... okay, before I get roasted for that, but it is. It's like the interiority of women. It's like looking at women's lives. It's like rich, vapid women, but some of it is real stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
This is a nuanced take. If anyone wants to talk to me about this more, I can explain my position.
Do you have your Excel sheet of all the episodes with... You know, I saw somebody who has that, like... And I was like, wow, that's impressive.
No, honestly. Yeah. I mean, it has its issues. I'll disclaim that it is fucked up. But there's something fascinating about it. I don't know. I can't stop watching it.
You mentioned you're watching a movie after this.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go... It's called Rumors. It's a satire. It stars Kate Blanchett and a bunch of other people. I don't know. Yeah, I'm gonna watch that. But it's about like these it's like a G8 summit or G7, wherever, where all these world leaders are together.
Oh, dude, I saw the trailer.
So the trailer for this?
Right,
yeah.
Right.
It looks hella funny. So I'll let you know. I'll send you my review.
Right, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to watch that one, actually.
Yeah.
Are you reading any books?
You know what? I'm in my literacy era, Johan. Oh, so wow. I have been reading a lot. I'm started reading this lady. Her name's Lisa Jewell, and she writes these really interesting, like, novels. There was one that was like a series. I read it backwards on accident, but it's like about a family who live in this house and like a bunch of fucked up shit happens. And like 20 years later, they all find each other again. Really fascinating. I'm reading one called her latest book. It's called None of This Is True. And it's about these two ladies who have the same birthday. And one of them is like married to her abuser. And like, the other is like this influencer, podcast person. It's fascinating.
Wow.
The one who's married to her abuser is clearly like, there's a lot going on there. And so it's kind of a mystery. But yeah, I've been reading a lot, actually.
That's cool. That's cool. I honestly am not reading that much books, but I'm reading a lot of manga and comic books.
Okay.
Yeah. I haven't read many books this year. I read like a few, I would say maximum like two or three books this year. But I'm a lot into comic books. And manga, I decided to start reading Berserk. It's a really long...
Oh, I know about Berserk.
Yeah. It's very honestly, I wouldn't suggest people to read this.
No. Hey, listeners, Berserk is every trigger warning possible.
Right. Right. Exactly. And it's traumatizing. Like once I'm glad I never been through any of like I wasn't really that trigger.
Yeah.
But it still is.
It's fucked up.
Traumatizing.
No, it's like, bad. Yeah.
I'm in volume 23 out of 40. There are 40 volumes. Very long too.
Yeah.
What I really like, and that's why I wanted to read it, is because it's always quote in the kind of RPG world. It's like, this is one of the main first ones that started with the thing of dungeons and dragons and like wizards and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wanted to get into it because of that. And in that aspect, it's very satisfying. It's very creative.
Mm.
But it's also very sad.
It's very sad. I've never consumed any direct Berserk content, but I've watched a lot of YouTube videos because I had an anime era.
I see.
And
still on that one.
No, I kind of got... It was like very much tied to the early pandemic. So I can't go back. But I was deep in it. And so I kind of like watched a bunch of video essays about Berserk. Yeah. One of the anime creators... I send him to you if you like anime. He made like a whole video essay about Berserk. So.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I would like to watch it. Because one thing I have seen about that one in particular is that the draws are so... amazing that it has never had a good adaptation into anime because it's too hard to animate.
Yeah.
It's way too hard to animate. And when they try to do it, it's so expensive because the draws are so good that they try to do 3D and they fuck up.
No, he talks about that in the video essay about how the adaptations are like...
They're all trash. I never watched. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a few ones that are good, but they're also really short when you consider the anime is so long.
It's
sprawling.
The manga. It's epic.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think they're ever going to do it right. And that's also impressive. It's like kind of compliment. Like, dude, you draw so good that we cannot animate this.
And that's really the value of different art forms, right?
Right. Yeah.
Because you can capture something that that another art form fails at.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's why I would love to learn more language because I feel like when I learn English, this whole universe of comic books opened better for me.
Oh, yeah.
And also books in general because I have read many books in English that I'm like, wow, I don't know if I would have understood this the same way if I read it in Spanish because it's original written in English, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I would love to get to that point, but I'm not really that nerdy for languages.
No, I'm honestly, biggest flop of my life is that I only speak English, really.
I will say, yeah.
Like, anytime I leave the country, I'm deeply embarrassed that I only speak English. Like, it really actually is sad. Because like when I was a kid, I used to be really into Korean dramas and I wanted so bad to speak Korean. And like, I'm acting like it's impossible for me to learn a language. I could go and learn a language. It's just really hard. Like your brain is plastic for only a certain period of time. And that's when you're really good at languages. And once you get into teenage years, it's super hard. But I feel you on that. I do love languages.
Yeah. I wanna move forward now asking you like, do you what do you consider are the positive a negative of consumption of media, and you can talk about either your life or in general.
As a avid consumer of every single type of
media, I want to actually know your opinion.
I have a lot of thoughts about this, but I'll keep it concise. I think the media to me is honestly a lifeline. Like I said, the way that I grew up, I was a nerd. I was really shy. I didn't speak really to other people besides my twin. I didn't really leave my house. So media is kind of how I lived my life before I left home. Like the kind of experiences that people were going out in the world having, I just was watching on TV or in movies. And that's how I got, that's really has started my lifelong love affair with all types of media, because it allows me to experience life and like experience what other people are going through via the way that they've created it, you know, like to learn about other people, to see about how other people live, like, which is honestly what I'm always trying to do, is understand what is going on for everybody else. Because personally, I'm disoriented. I don't know what the fuck's going on. So I want to know if someone else knows. So I love media so much for that. It is actually really a lifeline to me. And at the same time, it's not real life. Like, life isn't a movie, no matter how bad I want it to be. And so I, as much as I think media is absolutely a balm and a blessing, it is not a replacement for lived experiences.
Right. You know, you just remind me of this, because what you just say to me is beautiful. It speaks a lot to me, because growing up, I have always, the issue with my leg has been going on with me since I was 4 years old.
Yeah.
So in that matter, I also got to spend a lot of time inside watching and mostly playing video games.
Yeah.
And I have known many people in my life that has told me that playing video games is wasting your life and shit like that. And you know, when I was like 18, I just came out of high school.
Yeah.
Sometimes I forget, because we don't really call it high school. It's in my country, we call it liceo.
Liceo?
Liceo. Liceo is high school for us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that's not all in Latin America. I think they call it secundaria.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, whatever. the thing is, when the first year after I finished high school, I didn't do shit. Like, I didn't go to college. I spent literally one whole year doing nothing. And I was just playing this video game online with some friends. And the things that happened during that year in that video game, I still remember it. And it was so much happiness, bro. Like, I was so happy. Like, and it was so funny, because so many different kinds of people play that game and we connected with them. Like, there was people from France that was like 50 years old. There were people from all over Europe, United States, and this whole continent. And it's so like diverse to connect with all these people and have all these timelines.
Yeah.
And then it's like having a life too, because we had like a whole clan. And then in the clan, we had people that was like 30-something and different countries in Latin America. And it's like, we had schedules like, I'm going to be 8 hours.
No, that was your job.
Right.
Like, you clocked
in. Right. It was honestly. And then when I think about that, I cannot compare that experience with anything else that I have lived.
Right.
Like, it's very unique. It's something that I was like, wow, that was an amazing, crazy ass year.
No, one thing I love is a piece of media that makes me feel something.
Right, exactly.
That is an experience to
exactly.
me. Like, I hold that like diamonds in my memory, you know?
Yeah. I completely get that. I love how you put it, because I feel like whenever I ask this question, we get to talk about things that are very obvious, which is like, there is, of course, the negative side of consuming thing and spending so much time like scrolling.
Yeah.
I do that sometimes. And then it's like, there's always a positive, like we were saying earlier, like find a mutual aid place that you can gather people.
Yeah.
But the way you put it was unique in a way. Like, I never heard it like that. And it really made me think about myself. Like, yeah, that's how I see it too, actually. Yeah. But I've never been able to put it in words. So thank you.
No, yeah, of course. I'm so serious about it. I really love media.
Me too, for real. It's like it's like you say, it's about the experience too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really love it.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the million-dollar question. Whoa.
Okay, so I've listened to the podcast and I would always thought about what I would answer, but I don't even have a good answer right now. So go ahead and ask it though.
Okay, let's see. Can you create better in comfort or in struggle? I love this one because there's so many like different answers for it.
Can you create better in comfort or in struggle? Fuck me, man. I don't know. I think you create better in comfort or in struggle. I mean, I could do a bullshit. It's stressing me out. I could do a bullshit answer and be like, I guess it depends. It's like such a nuanced thing. You know what I mean? It like depends. Cause like if, you know what? I'm going to get controversial and I'm going to use David Chappelle as an example. David Chappelle, right? When he was coming up as a comedian, he was so fucking funny. He was so funny, especially to Black people. Like some of the early Chappelle show, I would like bawl over laughing at it, you know? Because he was talking about the struggle, the shared experience of being a Black person. That was beautiful what he created for us. So I think that's an example of creating something in struggle. Because if that's what animates you to speak, if that's what animates you to create, then yeah.
Right.
And then he got really rich and suddenly became weirdly obsessed with trans people. And what the hell is that about?
Yeah.
And then his stuff became shit. Like he lost what animated him to speak. And I haven't watched his latest whatever, but like I watched something maybe in 2020. And the only time I laughed is when he made a joke about race.
Right.
That was the only time I laughed. And so I think if what animates you to create is about struggle, then yeah. And then if you're in comfort and you don't have that anymore, you've lost touch with what originally animated you, then yeah, your stuff's going to be shit. But if you were born in comfort and what you were speaking about had nothing really to do with your, like you were speaking about something aside from the comfort that you're born in, you could still create something great. Shout out Nepo Babies. Like I'm sure there's been a Nepo Baby who's created something good, but that's how I feel about it.
No, I love that. I love that answer because I feel like you made me just think about a lot of artists that I follow and when what I consider their prime is when they were like really a small artist. And once they got big, they really become big sellouts. And I don't think that's the case all the time. Like
yeah, no, it's not.
Like for example, I really love Tame Impala. Like
yeah, same.
My favorite record is the first record, Inner Speaker. Like that's not the first, but that's like the first official LP. And I have it on vinyl, and I listened actually last week, and I haven't listened in a while. And I was listening while I was cooking, and I was thinking like, this is so good, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, this came out over, like, I don't know, like 15 years ago, 14 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's so good. It's so revolutionary in music. It's like, and he didn't have the tools that he has now. Now, when I listen to his music that he released recently, it's so different.
Yeah.
But it's still good. And like, I still like it. And I feel like he has said that when he created music, he had that vibe of like he wanted to do psychedelic rock and experiment and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that he loves pop's music and he wants to do pop music his way. And I really love that. It's like I'm putting his example because he's just like one guy doing the whole thing. Like,
yeah. When I figured out it was just one guy, I was like, what?
Yeah. To me, he's super inspirational.
No, like, I loved him at all.
Yeah.
But I think what you've said has kind of solidified my thought. I think as an artist, you have to be able to evolve. You know what I mean? Like if you start and struggle and you create something beautiful from that, that's great. And then you're out of the struggle. You can't go back. Like you can't. Because I think the biggest sin that you can commit as an artist is to not be true.
Right.
Like, I think at the end of the day, the value that I see in art is seeing somebody else's truth.
Right.
So if you're being fake,
right,
whether it's like in comfort or not, or even if you're in struggle and you're like being fake about whatever is really happening to you.
Yeah, yeah.
I think at the end of the day, you just have to be honest.
Yeah.
And be true.
And it's all about how you feel towards it. Because I feel like it, of course, the people matter, the people that follows you, but you do what you have to do to stay yourself, you know? So like,
yeah.
I don't really, to be honest, like, I don't really like the latest music of Arctic Monkeys. Like,
speak on it.
I'm not into that, bro. And I also, I'm not into the whole rock star phase they are going through. Like,
yeah,
they are so big right now, but it's not just the fact that they are literally so big and so loud everywhere.
Yeah.
It's the fact that they look like that. They mm-hmm. were, they stand, I feel like they're superhumans or something. And mm-hmm. so it's like, I don't like that. I don't vibe with it. But also, I don't think it's wrong if they are being true to themselves.
Yeah.
If they wanted to be rock stars, if they wanted to get to that point where they do this kind of music and they are having a good time, look, dude, just keep doing your shit. Like,
yeah.
people love it. They sold out wherever they go. And to me, their first few records were so life-changing into my life. Like, I used to listen to that. And I was like, bro, this is insane.
Mm-hmm.
So I also respect that. Like, it doesn't have to be for the people. Like, that's what I'm saying. I don't like it anymore. It doesn't have to be for me.
No.
Like, I still love their first records and I'm always going to love them. That doesn't mean like if they change that I'm going to stop loving their stuff, you know?
That's very true because at that moment, at that time, that's what it was for them, you know?
Couch hopping versus queen size bed.
Which do I prefer?
Yeah.
I mean, I do like a queen size bed.
Me too, man.
Yeah, I do.
I cannot change that anymore.
I'm a big fan of a queen size bed.
Yeah.
I got to watch out for my back, you know?
Dude, me too. Like, after all
you were just talking about it, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Low budget versus large budget.
For, like, art?
I have no idea.
Yo, wait, these are your questions?
Yeah, but... I don't know. Like, for me, whenever I ask this question, I always think, like, dude, for real, like, personally, I never experienced a large budget, so I don't know what is a large budget even, like.
Yeah, fair.
Right.
I guess like I'm gonna because I'm an avid listener, so I feel like other people interpret it as like for a project.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's kind of the same kind of cop out answer that I would give for the original question about like comfort or not. I think like a low budget does force you to be creative, but also I feel like if you can like compensate people, then you should, and that and like you can compensate people for their time and labor. And like, you know, get good equipment or whatever, then you should. So that's how I feel about it.
People deserve their money. I feel sad because I don't really have good budgets for my projects. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm a very creative person, honestly. Like,
mm-hmm.
if you sit down with me and I show you all my art, I have over 200 songs that you can find on the internet. And, mm-hmm. and I have way more songs that I have in my computer that I haven't released.
Mm-hmm.
And I have comic books. I have many comic books that I have written and I haven't been able to release because I don't have money for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I feel like it's such a struggle, but I always think that people deserve to be paid. I don't like to work with people that I know they are talented and that I know their time is money and their time is effort. I don't like to be like, hey, can you do this for me for free? Like, nah, bro. I know I know you're worth it and I'm going to try to find a way to pay it.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it little by little and that's how I keep releasing my stuff.
Yeah.
But I respect that for real.
No, I feel like if you're going to involve... Yeah, you got to pay people.
Yeah. I don't like when people... I see that all the time. People, it's like, okay, listen. You're going to do...
I'll pay you in vibes
and
clout.
Yeah, yeah, right. Like, what
it's like,
hell
I can't pay my rent with clout.
No. That's not how it works. Okay, we're actually done with this episode.
Woo!
But I want to ask you, is there anything you would like to tell to your younger self?
Get medicated.
Get medicated, bro.
Yo, don't get some drugs for the chemical imbalance.
You know what? I would actually say, now that you said that, I think I should say to my like, bro, you need to go to a therapist. Like, you should have gone. Because the first time I went, I was like, I think 18 or 19.
Yeah.
And it was good, but I realize now that if I had gone earlier, it could have been better.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you're mentally ill, get help.
It's such a stigma in my country.
Same. That's why it took me so long to even...
Right, exactly.
You know.
It's the same for me, yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, that's like, not me, I'm not...
Right.
I mean, and sorry for this language, but like, it was like, I'm not crazy.
Yeah. Know? And it's also like, oh, you're sad, just be happy.
Be
like,
happier, yeah.
Shut up.
It got too far before I was like, oh, this is not normal.
Yeah.
Like I was like, oh, this is, you're crazy actually. So you do need to get help. But okay. Yeah, that's what I would say.
Do you have anyone you want to shout out?
Yeah, my sister Jasmine Isaacs. She's my best friend. I love her so much. I'm gonna send this to her. So when she gets to this part and she hears this part, just know that I love you. I would shout out people at the hub, but I feel like I'm gonna forget someone. So if you're at the hub, I'm grateful for you. I really love you guys a lot. This community means the world to me. And if you need anything from me, let me know, because I would do anything for y'all. So
nice. Thank you so much. Yeah. I want to thank the listeners too for being here. This was a really cool episode to me.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I love talking to you, getting to know you better. So many things I didn't know about you that now the world's going to know.
Oh, no. I can't think about this.
Yeah.
I'm pretending that this isn't actually going to go anywhere. But no, thank you for doing this. I've gotten too comfortable with the mic. Now you're going to have to take the mic away from me.
Yeah. And now I gotta say hi to your sister. I actually saw a picture. You showed it to me.
I did. Jasmine, yeah. I'm sorry. I show a picture of you all the time.
You guys look a lot alike.
We are genetically related.
Right. So that's really cool.
Yeah, no, she's the best person in the world. And that's my unbiased opinion.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you, everybody. This was a blast of episode. I'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Come some later.